Take your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 3. And as you find your place, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able to stand, we're going to read verses 1 through 15. I will read the odd verses because I am quite odd. And you get to read the even verses because you're nice and even and wonderful people. And I will read with you on the even verses, though. But we'll read together the even verses. I'll read by myself the odd verses as we travel down through John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You notice here that we have a wonderful story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, I suppose you could say. I love this interaction between a well-educated, well-respected religious leader and Jesus. Now listen, I kind of like it for one reason, because Jesus gets a little fun with him. He kind of says, hey, aren't you supposed to know these things? And you're a leader of the Jews. You've read the scriptures. You've studied them from your youth. And aren't you supposed to know these things, Nicodemus? You know what? We have no excuse to why we do not know these things. Today I want to just kind of focus. This story is very evident about, it's talking about specifically salvation and how to enter into the kingdom of God. We know that it's only through Jesus Christ we can do that. But I want to kind of give this a starting point and take the emphasis from what Jesus says in John chapter 3 in verse 3. As Jesus is answering Nicodemus and how he is a teacher come from God, and that no man could do these things except God be with him. And Jesus very quickly goes to the point of the matter. The salvation of this man, Nicodemus. He needed to be born again. And can I tell you something? I love the wording that he uses, because it is so imperative that we understand the urgency and the necessity of some things in our lives. Here in verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You understand? It says here, you cannot enter the kingdom of God except ye be born again. And so there are some things that are necessities in life. And we want to talk to these points of these necessities today. Because basically, the spiritual necessities are what are important. Spiritual necessities. And that's the title of the message today, is simply spiritual necessities. In chapter 3, in verse 3, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Spiritual simply means pertaining to spirit. Pure, holy. Pertaining to the renewed nature of man, of man as a spiritual life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You cannot be spiritual unless you have the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus here. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh in verse 6. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Did you know that a necessity is a must? It's a must. It is something that has to be done. It is, and it cannot be otherwise. Cannot. It must. Ye must be born again. Jesus is very clear that there is one way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You understand that Jesus and God as one are absolute. There's no gray area. It's black or white, hot or cold, lukewarm gets spit out of his mouth. You understand that God is absolute. That's why I love God so much, and that's why I love mathematics so much, because mathematics is absolute. The English language is not. Breaks all the rules. It's just like the devil. Breaks all the rules. Yeah, we can equate. Yeah, here you go. You know what I'm talking about. So what is I'm about to make up a word because there's no rules to follow in English. What are the necessities of the spiritual life? The first one is to be saved. You've got to have the Spirit to be spiritual. You can't be without it. Hey, listen, Nicodemus, good man, followed the law, religious leader, ruler of the Jews. He probably was the cream of the crop. I mean, this man was probably right up there. And listen, he had what it took to be in that position. He was respected of men. But he was not born again. Jesus said unto him, "Ye must be born again." It was a necessity for Nicodemus to have salvation. And can I tell you something? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants people to be saved. He wants them to be born again. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he told Zacchaeus. He said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I must go to your house today." It was a necessity. Hey, Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why did he have to do that? Why was it necessary? Because there was someone that needed to be saved. That woman in the well needed salvation. Those people of Sychar needed salvation. Zacchaeus and his friends, sinners, publicans, wicked people needed salvation. And so do we. We must be born again. In order to have a spiritual life, you've got to be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Salvation is necessary for entrance into heaven. And it only comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. As the church began to branch out into go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature as they were commanded. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that as Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, spake unto the people, he said in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified." He wasn't appointed preacher at all, was he? I mean, you talk about taking the Spirit and just jabbing it in there and twisting it around a little bit. He said, "Hey, you crucified him, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see the necessity there? Ye must be saved through his name. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer was having a good night. His high dollar prisoners were in the middle of the prison, as safe as they could be. He was resting well. All of a sudden, he heard some songs coming. It is well. It is well with my soul. Who knows what they were singing? You know what? All of a sudden, the earth shook. Doors were jarred open. He sprang in, called for a light, came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, sirs, listen to this. What? Guess the word. Guess the word. Please, 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 please. Yes, you guys are the smartest crowd in the world. Must. What must I do to be saved? Hey, don't you love it when you knock on a door? Hi, my name's Eric. This is Ron. We're from Lighthouse Baptist Church. What must I do to be saved? Right? People just, they're just asking you that question, aren't they? I would love that. I think I might. Wait a minute. What'd you say? Oh, he did. He did. Hey, can I tell you something? He knew the necessity. Just moments before, he was about to take his life and split hell wide open. He's about to die in his sins. Paul and Silas said, no, don't harm yourself. We're all here. It's okay. He heard the songs. He heard the testimony. He knew these men were different and that they had something that he needed. He said, I need this. I must be saved. How? How can I? What do I need to know? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and his house, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Salvation came to the Philippian jailer and to his household because he knew that he must be born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, listen. You can't go to heaven like this. This sinful flesh cannot make it. It's a perfect place. It must put on incorruption. How do we do that? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way. It's his righteousness that is spotless, not ours. We must be born again. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must. Must, must, must. That's a necessity. And for the spiritual life, in order for you to have it, you've got to be born again. You have to have the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Salvation is a necessity for the spiritual life. Guess what? Can't have a spiritual life without it. You must be born again. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 20. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 20. Saying, this is the blood of the New Testament with God hath been joined to you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary. Oh, there's that word. It was necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Happened once, but it was necessary. It was necessary. Just as much as he needed to go to Samaria. Just as much as he needed to have dinner with Zacchaeus in his house. It was necessary that he go to the cross and suffer and die for our sins. And just as much as that, it was necessary for him the third day to fulfill Scripture and rise again. And then 40 days later, ascend into heaven. It was necessary. It was a necessity. It had to be done. It must have been accomplished. Salvation is a necessity for the spiritual life. Well, let's go back to our text. There in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I just love this conversation Jesus has. He uses so many educational tools to help Nicodemus understand. You know why? Because Nicodemus was an educated man. Yeah, so he was talking on his level. Something he could figure out. But I love the questions that Nicodemus asked, you know, about how can a man enter the second time? And Jesus kind of, I think he chuckled a little bit. Said, Nicodemus, that's a little funny. But I love what he says here. Look at verse 8. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know why this is real to Nicodemus? He was living a faux or fake Christian life. He was spiritual without the Spirit. He was. Hey, listen, there's a lot of good people out there. A lot of good people. But it doesn't mean they're saved. Doesn't mean they're born again. But you know what? A necessity of the Christian life is a spiritual life. You know why? Because by their fruit ye shall know them. If you are born of the Spirit, you should produce the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, you should. The spiritual life is something we should live. And it's a necessity because we're showing who we are. It's not making us who we are, but it's rather showing who we are. You know, by faith we trust Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're supposed to show forth the praises of God in our life. We're supposed to show forth holiness and purity and justness in our lives as believers. Hey, guess what? It's a necessity. It's a necessity. I need to show Christ in my life. Just as much as you need to show Christ in your life. Why wouldn't you? He saved you. He bought you with a price. Hey, remember, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and not in the flesh. We are no longer bound by the law. But rather, we get to follow the law. We don't have to. It's not going to save you. But it sure is a good way to live. It's a necessity. We need to do it. We must live a life for God. In Romans chapter 7, the Bible says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You know, we fight this fight. Carnal, spiritual, carnal, spiritual, carnal, spiritual, carnal, spiritual. You know what we need to do? We need to win. We need to win. We don't need to lose. We don't need to sink back into the carnality of the old life. We need to win and move forward in the righteousness of the spiritual life. God wants us to live holy, righteously, and purely in this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible tells us, but God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we need to be spiritual. It's necessity to us who are born again to live a spiritual life, that of the Spirit, pertaining to the Spirit, being pure and holy, renewed as in our spiritual life. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul tells them in verse 10, yet not altogether with fornicators of the world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. You must needs come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Hey, listen. You are not look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, be like the world. That's not what you are. You're a new creature. You're supposed to be different. And you know what? That's why I don't mind if people call me peculiar. I say thank you. Hey, you're different. Thank you. You're weird. Thank you very much. Yes, I am. I'm glad you noticed. Hey, that's okay, folks. You know what? When the world starts to love you and buddy up with you and accept you, what's going on here? You know what Jesus told his disciples? The world's going to hate you. They're going to reject you like they rejected me. They're going to persecute you. They're going to talk about you behind your back. They're going to bite after you, and they're going to curse you, and they're going to turn you away. Hey, if that's not happening to you, What am I doing wrong? We ought to be living the spiritual life. It's a necessity, folks. Hey, I'm glad to be called a Christian, a little Christ. I want to be like my Lord. I want to follow in His steps and be an example. Has anybody noticed in your life? The interesting thing is that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in this body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Anybody out there want to hear a, "You miserable, wicked, slothful, no good for nothing servant"? No? No. How many? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Me. You think that comes for free? Without putting the work in? No. But listen, it's not something we necessarily have to do, something we get to do. But it is a necessity. Living the spiritual life. In Acts chapter 14, the Bible tells us that confirming the souls of the disciples, Paul was in exhorting them to continue in the faith. He taught them this truth, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah. Hey, who said it was an easy road? Who said it was the easy life? Last I checked, Jesus says it was narrow. It was narrow. It's not an easy path. It's many times arduous and difficult, with pitfalls and snares. Because the devil doesn't want you to live this way, does he? Satan doesn't want you to live a spiritual life, because when you do, men will glorify God because of it. And they'll come to Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're almost done today. You're being such a good crowd. Flipping along so nicely. Not slowing me down too much. That's a blessing. Colossians chapter 1. Yes, I always blame you for that. It's all your fault. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. But I am willing to give credit where credit is due when you do well. Look at verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Why? Why do we need spiritual understanding? Why is it necessary for us to live a spiritual life? "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Hey, we're supposed to live this way. It's supposed to be. God's empowered us to live this way. It's necessary that we live the spiritual life. Living the Christian life is a spiritual necessity. Oh, you must be born again, but you must live a spiritual life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You know, the way we live our lives needs to be acceptable to God. It has to be. Why would you want to do anything that He would not accept? Wasn't there a problem way back in the beginning? about what was acceptable and what was not? It was two brothers. One was a tiller of the ground. I'm sure he produced the most wonderful squash, watermelon, tomatoes, cucumbers. I'm sure they were fantastic. I mean, I'm sure they were perfect. And they didn't even have a bug bite on them. I'm sure they were great. I mean, they were the ultimate color. And when you cracked it up, and just the aroma and this, I mean, organic as it gets. Non-GMO? Yeah! This is the best stuff, man. Whole Foods got nothing on Cain. He brought it to the Lord. It was acceptable in his eyes. God rejected it. He rejected it. Why? You see, because it wasn't any good? No. Because it was the wrong sacrifice. He needed to go to his brother and maybe trade him a couple pumpkins and watermelon, maybe a couple cantaloupe, some broccoli. No, not broccoli. Green beans. Nice green beans. And get a little lamb. Spotless, without blemish, to bring and sacrifice to the Lord. Why? That's what God told him to do. That was the expectation. Oh, he knew it. But he thought his sacrifice should be acceptable because it was pretty darn good. Hey, listen, folks. Can I just be as mean as I can to you? It don't matter what you think. It don't matter. It matters what he thinks. It matters if it's acceptable unto God. Not if you said, well, it's good. Or as I used to say, as part of the military, good enough for government work. No. No. It must be acceptable in his sight. Not our own. You know, he doesn't see things the way we do. But we should learn to see things the way he does. Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 7 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Submit yourselves, and James says, therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 1 John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the life, the spiritual life, the clean life, the right life, acceptable in his sight. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, we're supposed to live a life that's holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable. Reasonable. It's reasonable to live a spiritual life. It's a necessity. Then lastly, a life of service. You know that God didn't save you just to sit around? He saved you to serve. You need to be born again? You can live a life before the Lord, a spiritual life, the right kind of life. But then you need to learn to serve God. To serve God. It's a necessity. Hey, what kind of servant doesn't serve? A no good one, that's for sure. One that doesn't deserve to be in the kingdom of God. You know what? I know we don't deserve it, if you will, but we ought to be a good servant. We ought to do what God created us to do. And that's to glorify God. And when we do what he asks us to do, when he commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, we should. When he says we shall be witnesses, we should. We need to open our mouth and let people know that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I love what it says as Paul was being converted. Jesus talked to a man named Ananias. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. And God has this conversation with Ananias, and Ananias says, you know what, God, you know who this guy is, right? You know why he's here, right? He's here to arrest me and probably kill me. Ananias tells, or God tells Ananias, hey, just go. Go do what I said. And he went and he did these things because he told Ananias that Saul, he said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now listen to this. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, I don't want to suffer. We must. We must. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to suffer for the name of the Lord. It's okay to suffer for His sake when we endure hardness as a good soldier. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. You know what Jesus said? He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Do you know that Jesus has not done anything he's asked you to do? He's done it all. He's experienced it all. And he said, even as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. In John chapter 8, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In Matthew chapter 5, he told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Wait a minute, he said he was the light of the world. Yes. But as Christians, he's in them. And to shine out of them. We know that we're supposed to let our light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Can I just tell you? It's a necessity. It's a necessity. It's a spiritual necessity to be born again. It's a spiritual necessity to live a spiritual, clean, holy, pure life before God. And it's a necessity to serve the Lord with gladness. And even to suffer for His name's sake, if it be necessary. There's some musts in our lives. And may I make a plea today that if you're not born again, ye must be born again. And if you're not living a life pleasing unto the Lord, ye must choose to walk in the Spirit. If you're not serving the Lord, you must choose to be a servant of the Most High God. To complete the work that He sent for you to accomplish. Even as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. We've been sent. We've been called. God wants us to live a spiritual life. There's spiritual necessities.